It's time for the Tom Sumner Program. The Tom Sumner Program is a live variety show with music, comedy and special guest interviews every Monday through Friday.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Tom. You know that.
Yay, Tom! I love it in Flint!
You're very astute, Tom.
Easy question.
I'll debate Andy Dillon on your show.
Well, that's a very good question.
Hello, darling. This is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, with Tom Sumner.
I'm all right, Tom. How are you?
You're lucky day, Mr. Sumner.
Ciao, Tom. How are you today?
That's a good question.
Hi, this is actor, comedian Jonah Pody, and you're listening to the Tom Snyder, Tom Smothers. I'm sorry, what's his name? Oh, Sumner. The Tom Sumner Program.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Hey, at least I got the Tom part right.
Stay tuned, because it's on now. The Tom Sumner Program.
Hi, this is Tom from the Tom Sumner Program. If you like talk radio that makes you think without telling you what to think, check out our whole show weekdays from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern at TomSumnerProgram.com. Selected segments are also available on this and other radio stations, but you can hear us anytime. Daily editions of the Tom Sumner Program repeat online all day and night on the show's website. Past shows can be found in the website archives. My long-format interviews with New York Times best-selling authors, photographers and writers from National Geographic, as well as artists, musicians, candidates, and elected officials are made possible by listeners like you. Support the Tom Sumner Program and Civilized Talk Radio. Visit our website at TomSumnerProgram.com and become a member. You can make a one-time gift or become a sustaining patron by taking the link to the Tom Sumner Program Patreon page. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support.
The Tom Sumner Program. Old-fashioned radio for a new generation.
This is Jill Stein, and you're listening to the Tom Sumner Program.
The Tom Sumner Program. Old-fashioned radio for a new generation.
I sit and see what this world can mean when you leave.
Starting your weekend off early with live music on the Tom Sumner program, courtesy of the RTG band who joins me in the studio. Yes, indeed, that was live. Sounded on purpose and everything. Hey, welcome to the show, you guys. Thanks for being here and doing this.
Great to be here.
Thank you, Tom. Absolutely.
Do you mind if we do a little some introductions and who all's in the group and what you play, et cetera?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm Dave Lenarski with RTG and lead singer and guitar player, and we all write the songs together. And Peggy?
I'm Peggy Turner Carr. Going to play a little ukulele today, but normally just lead singer and some percussion.
Okay.
I'm Chris Sofino, and I play keyboards, and I'm just here to make these guys look good.
I'm Jeff Babbitt, and I'm the drummer, and I'm mostly background vocals, but every once in a while I step out and sing one.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm not sure if I'm wandering out into troubled waters or not, but no bass player?
We our first album that we came out with called Power of You, the song that they just heard, we actually had a bass player that came on that album to help us out, David Winans from the Winans family.
Okay.
And it was tremendous, and he helped us out in the studio. We produced that first album at Reel to Reel Productions with Marshall Block. And so, and then when we started heading towards the Nashville way and started recording for our second album in Nashville, we've been kind of going kind of without the bass.
Yeah.
And the bass is played in the music, but it's not a live bass for performance. It's called Hired Guns.
Oh, really?
And Dave himself, he's selling himself short. He's actually laid bass track on several of the songs as well. But I'm going to do a little tribute to our bass player, Bob LaGruth, that we lost to a brain tumor, and that's why we ended up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was originally with us for quite a long time, and yes. So like over 20-some years.
Wow, how long has the group been together?
Well, we have been together performing together besides RTG for well over 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But RTG, we started back in around 2000,
13
is when we first started the band in RTG.
And RTG, of course, stands for Righteous Through God.
That's correct.
And which makes me wonder, do you think of your performances as a ministry?
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes.
And which came first, the music or the ministry?
The music.
Have to
say that, yeah.
Our first album was all based on every song on the first album, Power of You, was based on one or many of our faith stories in life. So all the music written that we wrote was based on us playing for all these years together and the stories we had, life stories, and we just wanted to share them with people.
Sure.
And they were just faith life stories, and so that whole album was all based on that. And then we said, let's take it out and start the performing. And let the people hear it, and then we started realizing that everybody else kind of related to our stories.
And where do you perform?
Well, when we're with RTG or doing the Righteous Through God, it's normally concerts at churches or venues. You know, we've been all over Michigan and looking forward to continuing to do that, but right now we're taking a break while we record and finish that second CD.
What is the writing process like?
Well, we actually get together every week, and each one of us brings something to the table.
Yep.
And sometimes you don't even know what you're bringing the day of when we go to our studio. And we've written some songs in a day, we've written some songs
in months.
so sometimes it just comes and it hits you, and sometimes it takes a little while.
But is it a full collaborative process? You write in a group setting? Because a lot of times writing is a little bit introspective.
I think sometimes we do.
I think what we like to do is people, each one of us will bring something to the table saying, I got an idea.
Yes.
Here's a song that I wrote. And then we all collaborate together in the studio to say, hey, let's do this with it, or let's add this to it, or let's change this. And that's how it becomes a song through RTG.
Yeah, I'll write something and Dave will pull some notes out of his pocket. He said, well, I wrote this earlier this week and it might fit into the song, it might not. You know, and we've all had the quote unquote money lines come to us. Jeff's had some good money lines.
I had one good money line. That's about it. That's my claim to fame.
It's usually the last thing a drummer says before a band breaks up.
Yeah,
hey, you guys, I wrote a song.
And I'm taking it with me. No.
Yeah.
But we did in Nashville with our producer, Riley Friesen, we actually did do a collaboration where we sat down and wrote a song from scratch. With him. And that's on the next CD called The Plan.
It's going to be on the new CD. And actually, that was written just right there in one setting.
Yes.
How many CDs do you have?
This will be the second one coming out. Our first one came out in 2016, I believe. And then we toured with the band. We played with a band called The Afters, which is a contemporary Christian band that travels. And then from there, we did our first album, Power of You.
Yeah.
And then from October to December of last year, we did all kinds of concerts and events through all of Michigan. And then we took a little break, and now we're back in Nashville recording the second CD.
The concept of contemporary Christian music has come a long way in the last few years. Is that the genre you identify with?
For the RTG group, absolutely. We still do some performances on the side, I guess I would say. We have the RTG band that does the Christian concerts. Yeah, but more corporate parties, things like that.
We're done with the bars.
But more corporate parties and things like that. And then we like to take that money and put that towards our Nashville trips. So
yeah, we'll do a lot of corporate events or things that we'll travel for and play for a weekend somewhere. And then and we'll take that. And
And the Nashville trips are recording sessions?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yep.
And if you've been working with Marshall Block, why Nashville?
Well, actually, it was something that between David Winans and all, it was something that he said you should go do. And what happened is Chris Ofino on the keys and I actually went to Aspen, Colorado, and went to a songwriter's, we went to a songwriter's for a week, and we met our producer there, and met Matthew West and some of the big contemporary Christian artists there. And they're the ones that said, you need to come to Nashville.
Well, we relentlessly bothered him, I think, for about a day. Hey, we sent him stuff, and we actually ran into a guy named Seth Mosley who runs Full Circle Music in Nashville, and they've won Grammys and
lots
double
of duns,
awards.
Yeah.
And he got with us and said, "Hey, come on down here, and maybe we can work together and do something for you." So, and how we met him was really interesting. And I'm sorry, I really screwed this up today. I was supposed to bring you some merch, and we have what's called slap bands.
He's got a whole bag ready for
you. I'll mail it to you.
We will.
We have these slap bands, and they slap around your wrist. And on the ends of them is a USB, and that's our album on that.
Our first album with Marshall. Yep.
So I kind of did that to Seth Mosley, and he liked it for some reason. I guess that's the first time he's seen something like that. So that's how we kind of got in the door.
Well, that's cool.
He hooked us up with Ryan
Friesen.
Invited
us to the studio.
It's been really good so far.
Yeah, it's been a really good experience, too.
How often do you perform?
The performing is, I would say, out of for instance, last October through December, we did
eight concerts.
Yeah.
On top of the events and the
corporations that we do, and we probably did another eight or nine. So you're only talking about 16 to 20 type of shows a year, because the rest of it is recording, songwriting and recording.
And then, we'll get back to that, because I want to talk about how you get your merch out and how you distribute your recorded music. And also, I want to hear more live music, because you guys sound terrific.
Thank you.
Anyway, we're going to take a short break. If you're listening to us on WFOV 92.1 FM, Our Voices Radio in Flint, they are a broadcast service of the Flint Odyssey House, Spectacle Productions, and my good friend Paul Herring. We're going to let them squeeze a few words in edgewise. If you're streaming us at TomSumnerProgram.com, we have some messages as well. Then we will return with more music from the RTG band right after this.
Have you ever wondered what types of crimes you can report to Crime Stoppers? Well, not only do we take tips on felony fugitives and homicides, but we also want tips on human trafficking, domestic violence, drugs, and weapons, to mention a few. To submit your information to Crime Stoppers, go to p3tips.com, download the free P3 mobile app, or call 1-800-422-JAIL. All methods are completely anonymous, and if your information helps lead to a felony arrest, you may be eligible for a cash reward. Remember, your voice matters.
Hi, this is Tom from the Tom Sumner Program. If you like talk radio that makes you think without telling you what to think, check out our whole show weekdays from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern at TomSumnerProgram.com. Selected segments are also available on this and other radio stations, but you can hear us anytime. Daily editions of the Tom Sumner Program repeat online all day and night on the show's website. Past shows can be found in the website archives. My long-format interviews with New York Times best-selling authors, photographers, and writers from National Geographic, as well as artists, musicians, candidates, and elected officials are made possible by listeners like you. Support the Tom Sumner Program and Civilized Talk Radio. Visit our website at TomSumnerProgram.com and become a member. You can make a one-time gift or become a sustaining patron by taking the link to the Tom Sumner Program Patreon page. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Swiftlet Technology is a Flint-based engineering services company focused on helping you design a technical solution to your business needs. We offer prototype and proof-of-concept services to help you evaluate your idea, or workforce augmentation to help you make your idea a reality. Specializing in electronics and software, our team is ready to help you figure out what to build and then help you build it. Find out more at swiftlet.technology.
Do you ever feel like you need an attitude adjustment? Are you wishing there was a magic pill or a new app for your mobile device? Why don't you try live local music? Music can make you dance, bring back fond memories, inspire you to be more creative, whether you attend a child's school concert or recital, go to a local symphony concert, visit local bars and restaurants that feature dance music, sing-along piano, or jazz and blues. Music could be just what you're looking for. Supporting live local music is more than a way to support your local artists and economy. It's a great way to improve your own quality of life. Support live local music. This message is brought to you by the Flint Institute of Music at thefim.org and the Tom Sumner Program at tomsumnerprogram.com. It feels good to support live local music. MTA Flint is nationally recognized for continually seeking to provide sustainable, reliable, and cost-efficient transportation for individuals throughout the region. Through work-related and non-emergency medical transportation and your ride services, MTA is moving people with future and alternative fuel technologies. More information about MTA Flint and specialized services is available at mtaflint.org.
East Village Magazine is the monthly neighborhood magazine read all over Flint. With support from grants, donations, and advertisers, East Village Magazine's talented local writers give you an in-depth look at local news, issues, and people that make Flint, Flint. Copies of East Village Magazine are available at many of your favorite shops and restaurants around Flint or online at eastvillagemagazine.org. East Village Magazine, community-focused and community-supported.
the Tom Sumner Program.
Excellent live music to start your weekend off early here on the Tom Sumner Program, courtesy of the RTG Band. And I almost said that wrong after...
he was teasing.
Oh, the
yeah,
wrong name.
Yeah, this character over here.
We were joking around.
With alphabet soup.
Yeah, exactly.
But the RTG Band. And I want to go back and reintroduce everybody, but also by way of finding out, how did you first get started playing?
Mine was family-oriented. I started playing, my father and my mother played in a band, a traveling band, and so I started very young playing the guitar and took lessons, and I finally kept tugging on my dad, am I ready, am I ready, am I ready? And at 14 years old, he goes, okay, you're ready. And so I was traveling every weekend with my mom and dad playing you know, like the old Partridge Family show on TV, and so it was fun. And I was one of.
You didn't
of
have
nine.
That funky painted bust, did you?
No, we didn't have the funky painted bust. But if I go back and look what we were wearing back then, that'll tell you. that'll tell you how far back it goes.
Yeah. Me? Oh, mine was also family oriented. Had two brothers, one sister. So there were four of us. So we automatically had a built-in four-part harmony family, which was nice. My mom used to sing radio commercials when she was young, and she explained it to me. In fact, maybe you can. She's no longer with us, but I remember her telling me that back then they would give you a pitch pipe. The music was already done, and they put her in a little booth with nothing but the pitch pipe. So she'd hit her note, and then somebody would tell her when to start, and she had to just sing the whole jingle without hearing the music. So she had to be exact. Does that sound like something that would have... Because that's how she had to do her commercials, which I always thought was interesting.
Probably had to use a metronome of some kind.
Maybe.
A blinking light for the timing.
To keep her going, yeah. So I thought that was interesting. But my brothers had a band first because they were 10 and 11 years older than me. And I was 13 when they finally let me come up on stage and said, let's start getting her feet wet. So it just started with that. And then I started in my first band at 15 and was told at the establishment we were at not to tell anybody how old I was. And my mom had to come sit every night, and that's how we, you know, that's just how it all begins sometimes. I met these guys, we were in our early, well, I don't want to say how old we were, not very long after that, when I met these guys, because we would end up at the same venue in St. Clair playing, because there were several rooms to the venue.
St. Clair Inn?
So, it's St. Clair Inn, yeah, I guess I can say that. I'm getting ready to reopen St. Clair Inn. We're excited about that. But there were several rooms, and so we would meet, and we would go watch each other because your breaks would be different, and that's how we ended up finally coming together. Yeah, you were normally in the bar. I was normally doing the
and
private
Jeff,
parties.
And Jeff come from a, he also came from a family.
I came from a musical family.
Yeah.
My way back when I was, my dad played bass guitar, my mom played keyboards. I had a brother that he passed away a long time ago. He was lead singer and lead guitar player, melody guitar player, really talented. I had another sister that played accordion and melody guitar. And then I have my sister Heidi, who was keyboards, a great keyboard player too. And then I was always drums and vocals. I knew I wanted to be a drummer when I was like 5 or 6 because it was the only instrument that the family didn't have. So we would do, you know, the American Guild of Music, the International Music Association music competitions, you know, with the studios and stuff. And we were at Cedar Point, and we ran into Dana Sullins of Honolulu Music in Mount Clemens. They're not there anymore, but she discovered us, and we were supposed to be the new Partridge Family. We didn't have the bus. So I started playing professionally when I was 7. We won a lot of competitions at Cedar Point. We did a lot of little mini tours as a family band. When I was 17, I auditioned for an orchestra that was going over to Europe, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, France, Germany, a youth orchestra. And I auditioned just to join the group, and I ended up being section leader. Loved it so much, I did it the next year. I got into classic rock bands, you know, anything I could do. I've always been a fan of these guys, though. I'm talking about the band that I'm with now, and there came a time where their drummer, I guess he couldn't make certain shows for certain reasons, and whenever he couldn't make it, I would step in. I would say, man, I'll play with you guys no matter what, and sometimes it was for free, and Dave would talk me into it and say, hey, you're going to have a lot of fun with us. So
for benefit.
Well, we told you it was for free.
Yeah, and I said, I'll play for free.
Dave,
I'll play. I don't mind. But anyway, after a while, the drummer left, and I slid right in, and then they said they wanted to do Christian songs. And I thought that was a great idea. And the rest is history.
Yep.
And what about...
I don't have a musical family, sorry. No, actually, I was taking piano lessons, and I met this really awesome drummer. It wasn't Jeff Babbitt. And come to find out, it was Dave's brother, older brother, Joe. And so I started going over to their house. And we would have garage band type things for a long time. Your mother really loved me.
My mom still talks about that.
So that's how I got started. We did that for a lot of years, and then we started playing. We I started professionally when I was 15, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we played for a long time together. So between Chris and Peggy and I, we've got 30 plus years playing because we started so young.
Correct.
And exactly. Then when Jeff coming in the band here, it added everything. So we're now we've got the vocals, and now we're really tuned in on the contemporary Christian music.
Yes,
it is a big.
How did that evolution occur?
Well, it kind of happened because we were doing it already, but we weren't doing our stuff. We were all on worship teams at our churches. So I'm a worship team leader at my church. Peggy's a worship team leader. You know, Jeff was playing on worship teams. You know, Chris was coming in and playing with worship teams. And so we were already doing it on Sundays and rehearsing on, you know, a day during the week. And we just thought we had a lot of stories to tell. There's a lot of things that happened, losing our bass player and things
and
in our life
that,
going on.
And I'm
going to
interrupt you there because that was one of the key moments when after a cancer benefit we were playing, I said to the guys, I said, look, we're going to gather after we pack up and we're going to pray. And that was the first time that we had ever done that as a band.
Yeah.
And came together, and it was after that moment, I really think it was after that moment, Chris came to me and said, you know, I've written some music, but some of it's Christian. And then Dave says, well, I've got some Christian songs I've written, and it just kept rolling and rolling. And
when you have the four that we have right here, mm-hmm. when you have, it's right in front of you.
Yeah.
We're like thinking, what are we doing? We should
right.
be writing
we should
this
be doing
and
this.
Recording it. And,
yeah.
and that's kind of really how it evolved.
And so the... when you perform or when you write and the songs that you perform, are they all originals or do you do covers?
We do add a few covers because we do want the audience to have some type of participation. So a lot of times we'll throw in some Chris Tomlin praise and worship. We'll pull in an old hymn and maybe do an old hymn like I've done How Great Thou Art, things like that.
Yeah,
with a little RTG twist.
With a little RTG. Oh, we always give it the RTG twist. And then people can join in and sing along because that's important too for them to feel part of it. And when you're standing up there doing all originals, if they don't know some of the music, obviously it's hard for them to relate. So we want to give them some familiar tunes as well.
And RTG also has a Christmas show that we do.
Yeah.
And we'll do regular covers, and we'll throw in our originals in there as well.
Yeah. In fact, we did 3 or 4 Christmas concerts this last, and it was busy. December was busy.
Yeah,
and
it was.
Frankenmuth was our last Christmas concert
two
we
shows
did
there.
In Frankenmuth.
Yeah.
We did 2 shows there.
I know with a lot of musicians, a lot of... singers and songwriters in particular, that talk about doing covers so that they can work and be more accessible to audiences and then sort of sneaking their originals in.
Right.
And then over time, you know, people get acclimated to those originals. Did you have to go through a process like that, or is your audience more open to new stuff?
I think, like when we started our concerts with our shows and we said, what do we want to do? We pretty much gave them RTG and then threw in a few very, very popular contemporary Christian songs that they can relate to. But with the RTG, we wanted it more of, you know, the songs are you can get up and stand up and you can, you know, clap and you can move around, you can get into the songs. I believe that concerts, as musicians as we are, you also have to be entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't entertain while you're playing these concerts, it's a long time sitting for an hour, hour and a half, listening to a concert, and it's just sitting. So I'd like to think that our concerts and our shows are pretty entertaining.
And engaging.
Yeah. In fact, the DMAs, we're up for an award this year for the DMAs for Best Live Performance. And you know, I think that's an honor because people that come and see the show, they understand that that was a pretty good concert.
Well, and we also have videos, and we always have the words up.
Yes.
So people can sing along, follow along, even if they don't know the song. I mean, our songs are pretty, I think, flow pretty well. So you know, people can read those and
concerts
have videos
and
you know,
concerts are pretty big productions because
the smaller shows we don't do that.
You know.
Before RTG, were you writing other kinds of songs, songs that didn't necessarily have a faith message?
Yes, I
have. Actually, he, yeah.
Chris has been writing for a long time.
I've been secular songs.
He has.
And we've taken some of those secular songs and even put a little, you know, a Christian twist on them, and it worked perfectly. It flowed very well. And one of them ended up on our last album, Power of You.
Yeah.
Wanted. It's a song, Wanted. Yeah. A very well-written song with a Christian twist, and works well.
Yeah.
Are there artists that inspire and inform your songwriting?
I think we all have, I think each one of us can say who inspires us most, but in the if I wanted to go back to, like, who's my favorite, you know, I'm a big Eagles fan. So they were a big part. In fact, our RTG harmonies and everything, I can hear a lot of times the Eagles. In fact, our producer said, when we sent him one song, and he goes, that sounds like an Eagles song. They, as a band, I think they were very instrumental in that scene for us. And I think if you ask anybody with contemporary Christian music, and they're doing that, I think you'll find that the people that influence them are, may not be at that time the contemporary Christian. It was music that they grew up with.
Yeah, and correct.
For me, you know, I thought Eagles, man, I could listen to every one of their albums every day, you know. And
Jeff likes Rush.
As a drummer, I'd be, any drummer out there can understand, I'm a big Neil Peart fan. Yeah. Even received a postcard from him, so of course I was always studying, always the pursuit of excellence in everything I do. I've had private lessons when I was 6 all the way through high school, and they were really popular in high school, so I'm very technical. And I've had to dumb down my playing. I shouldn't have said that, probably. But
That is the word.
Christian contemporary music, drum-wise and rhythm-wise, is very different than what Rush would do.
Right.
And so I've had my producer tell me, Jeff, maybe that's that fill or that rhythm isn't quite appropriate, but... So I'm still learning how to play.
Oh, I'm learning to play. I get said, people have told me, I won't mention anybody's name, but I'll look at them in the room here.
Says, is he in the room?
Sometimes I only play with one hand. And that's because I'm making adjustments over here.
what about your influences?
Well, you know, grew up listening to, like, Billy Joel and those type of things. But, you know... I try not to play melodies because I've been lucky enough to have so many great singers around me. You know, I see some piano players who actually play everything and they throw a melody line in there, and I thought, why should I play that when I have Peggy Turner Carr hitting those notes for me? You know, it's like, so, you know, so I, my style's different than some, and, you know, I try to change it up, but, you know, but yeah, Billy Joel was a big influence, I think.
Peggy, what about your influences?
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really dating myself now.
Yes.
So I would sit in my bedroom for hours, Barbara Streisand and Helen Reddy, because I loved that throatiness of Helen Reddy, because I was more of an alto.
And who else?
My jazz.
No, guy? All that too.
Oh, Al Jarreau for my jazz, but we weren't going down the jazz road. But yeah, for
you
my
have that operatic voice too.
My
operatic voice?
I don't think I do.
Pat Benatar.
I did like Pat Benatar, but he has my major influences. That's what we were I'm
sorry. At. That's yours, Jeff.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mine was really Streisand. I mean, to sit with that kind of a voice and work, and what a great exercise. You know, I mean, you can't exercise your voice any better than singing along with that. So, yeah.
Now, do you guys have a website?
Yes, we do. It's rtgband.com. And we've got a great Facebook followers, and you know, we're on Twitter and Instagram, all that. And the marketing part of it is very much into play these days with the media, of course. And so we do, and we have newsletters that we put out every quarter to everybody that signed up to our newsletters to keep them up to speed on what's going on and everything. And
oh, that's great. Now, how does the compensation work when you're doing concerts? Are you being paid to perform those concerts, or is it free will donations,
or
do you sell merch?
Our sound guy's free, but other than that, no.
He makes the most money.
When we were in concerts, we were getting paid. It would just be like any other somebody coming in. You're paying for the venue. You're counting on selling so many seats at your ticket prices. You're paying those venues back. There's advertising, marketing fees, and all that. So, you know, in a lot of those cases, but then there's other that we feel obligated with certain churches or certain ministries that sometimes, you know, they'll call out for us and we'll go in and do an acoustic, maybe an acoustic, you know, show that has, that's more of a fundraiser. So in both cases, but in the bigger venues, it's just like any other person going in for concerts and making some money.
We have to cover.
Well, hopefully we've got time to squeeze one more in, but not before I say thanks so much for doing this and being here. You guys sound wonderful. What's the website again, very quickly?
It's rtgband.com.
rtgband.com.
You can look up everything and be glad to... We'd be glad that they kind of figure us out as we start finishing our recording in Nashville for our second album.
We go back in May.
One last time.
Sure.
RTGB. RTG Band will be back with the final segment of today's edition of the Tom Sumner program coming up right after we break for a few words from our broadcast partners.
The Tom Sumner Program is made possible with support from Flint Comics and Entertainment, the world's leading free comics and entertainment newspaper at flintcomics@gmail.com.
Discoveries. They happen when we least expect them, in places we thought we knew.
and discoveries have a way of teaching us a little more about ourselves along the way. Welcome to Flint and Genesee County, where up north meets down south. Home to Michigan's largest county park system and a vibrant culture. A place filled with discoveries we've yet to make throughout acres of beautiful lakes, wetlands, and woods, and in the diverse city beyond. Where the uplifting melodies of gospel choirs fill the air, where the work of renowned artists color the galleries and museums, where the fresh fruits and vegetables at the downtown farmers market awaken our senses, and where the cultural center and planetarium broaden our view of the world. Let's spend a few days enjoying the wonders of Flint and Genesee County, where the joy of discovery is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
MTA Flint is nationally recognized for continually seeking to provide sustainable, reliable, and cost-efficient transportation for individuals throughout the region. Through work-related and non-emergency medical transportation and Your Ride services, MTA is moving people with future and alternative fuel technologies. More information about MTA Flint and specialized services is available at mtaflint.org. Do you ever feel like you need an attitude adjustment? Are you wishing there was a magic pill or a new app for your mobile device? Why don't you try Live Local Music? Music can make you dance, bring back fond memories, inspire you to be more creative, whether you attend a child's school concert or recital, go to a local symphony concert, visit local bars and restaurants that feature dance music, sing-along piano, or jazz and blues. Music could be just what you're looking for. Supporting live local music is more than a way to support your local artists and economy. It's a great way to improve your own quality of life. Support live local music. This message is brought to you by the Flint Institute of Music at thefim.org and the Tom Sumner Program at tomsumnerprogram.com. It feels good to support live local music. Hi, this is Tom from the Tom Sumner Program. If you like talk radio that makes you think without telling you what to think, check out our whole show weekdays from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern at tomsumnerprogram.com. Selected segments are also available on this and other radio stations, but you can hear us anytime. Daily editions of the Tom Sumner Program repeat online all day and night on the show's website. Past shows can be found in the website archives. My long-format interviews with New York Times best-selling authors, photographers and writers from National Geographic, as well as artists, musicians, candidates, and elected officials are made possible by listeners like you. Support the Tom Sumner Program and Civilized Talk Radio. Visit our website at tomsumnerprogram.com and become a member. You can make a one-time gift or become a sustaining patron by taking the link to the Tom Sumner Program Patreon page. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support.
Rod Serling.
What's this, the Twilight Zone? Where is everybody?
I would have been headed for the Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone.
If I go any lower, I'll be in the Twilight Zone.
All right.
All the Jethro's right at home in the Twilight Zone.
I'm in the Twilight Zone.
Now, having made this little jaunt into the Twilight Zone,
I got a feeling something strange is about to happen.
In the Twilight Zone.
Hi, this is Ann Serling, and you're listening to the Tom Sumner Program.
Stream us live weekdays from 9 a.m. to noon at tomsumnerprogram.com, made possible by listeners like you.
The Tom Sumner Program. Old-fashioned radio for a new generation. Welcome to this presentation of the Comedy Spotlight on the Tom Sumner Program.
I went to see a play right here lately. It was one of them classical plays. And it was wrote by a fella named William Shakespeare that lived over here in the old country here a while back. And it's a play, it's called Hamlet. And it was named after this young boy Hamlet that appeared in the play. And it was pretty good, except that they don't speak as good English as we do. Now let's see, Hamlet, he lived in this castle over in the old country with his mama and daddy. you know where it was that his daddy was king over this land. And also living with him there was a fellow named Claudius. Now, Claudius was Hamlet's uncle on his daddy's side. And before the play ever opened, this fellow Claudius plotted and killed Hamlet's daddy so that he might gain the throne and then married Hamlet's mama. And that made him Hamlet's stepdaddy. And, well, all do try to remember that if you can, because you will need it later on. Now, there was a fellow Polonius. He lived there. He was a kind of advisor to the king. And there was a fellow named Horatio. He was Hamlet's buddy. He lived there. Then there was a girl named Ophelia that was visiting there. She was Hamlet's sweetheart that he had met at BYPU. Well, there's all kinds of maids and soldiers and stable boys and things like that that live there too, you know. And remember, before the play ever opens up, Hamlet's daddy's already dead. And when it opens up, it opens up on these two soldiers that was a standing guard one night, and this ghost come up on them. And one of them says, "Hark." He said, "No, they said hark a whole lot back then." He says, "Hark, what thing is this I see before me?" And the other one says, "Let us flee and seek out young Hamlet, for behold, it bears a visage like unto his father." And it did, too. It looked just exactly like him. You couldn't took a better picture uptown. And they were in the house to get Hamlet, but he had just come in from high school and was tired and had went on to bed. But anyhow, they told him about it, and he got on up and put his britches on and went on outdoors with them. And when he got there, the ghost started talking to him. Says, "Behold, Hamlet, says, look on me, for I am the ghost of thy father." Then it went on to tell him, you know, how it was that Claudius had plotted and killed him, you know, like I told you a while ago. Well, when it got on telling him, it made Hamlet swear to seek out vengeance on his former uncle and present stepdaddy, Claudius. And after Hamlet sweared it, well, the ghost went on off, and none of them ever seen it after that. And it was right there that Hamlet gave that soliloquy about being or not being. Well, for them that don't know, a soliloquy is a kind of a self-talk. You know, it is, where you kindly, you know, sit and look away off and kindly talk to yourself. And that's what he was a-doing. Only he wasn't sitting down, he was walking. And when he come close to the end of it, he come up on this young girl, Ophelia, and he says to himself, he says, "Soft, I see Ophelia fire." Well, he sat down and started talking to her. Asked her how she was and how her daddy was and how her mama was and different ones. And while he was talking, he looked and he seen a fella hiding behind a cedar chest. And he did, and he took out his sword and he run the fella. He run him upstairs and he run him downstairs. But he couldn't catch him, and it made him mad, and he come back to Ophelia, mad at her. And he hit her in the face, and he throwed her on the ground. And he says, "Get thee to a nunnery, for thy face is a vile thing before my eyes." Now, it was right here that Hamlet first started acting like that he wasn't all that. See, he figured that the people that plotted and killed his daddy thought that he wasn't right in his mind, they'd talk around him, you know? But they didn't. One night, he was up in his mama's room telling her goodnight, and he looked over there, and he seen these curtains rustle just the least little bit. And he eased out his sword, and he edged over to where it was the curtains was rustling, and he run the fella through. And the fella fell, and he seen it was that fella Polonius that I told you about a while ago. Well, what he done, he picked him up and took him over and throwed him out this little window in this creek that run by, and none of them ever missed him after that. And it was right after that that this carnival come through. Sideshow, show folks, you know. They come through, and Hamlet had them to put on a show exactly the way that the murder of the king was committed. And let me tell you, when they got to the place in the play that the king was killed, Hamlet's stepdaddy got up out of his chair and he says, "Hold." He says, "Cease this wild carrying on and evil acting in the palace of the king." And he run them all out of the house. And it was right there that Hamlet first knowed that he was going to have to get even with his stepdaddy for killing his daddy. And it was also right there that Hamlet's stepdaddy knowed that he is going to have to get shut of that boy or he'd have trouble out of it. Well, what he done was the next day he put on a big sword fight between Hamlet and another fella. And he give this other fella a sword with a poison point on it. And he give Hamlet a plain sword, and he had a bowl full of poison wine for Hamlet to drink just in case he won the sword fight. Well, he put up his hands and he says, "Lay on." And they went to it, Hamlet back the fella, and he fella back Hamlet, and back and forth like that for a while, till pretty soon Hamlet got cut on the arm by that poison sword. And he commenced to weaken, but he fit harder than he ever did, and he kept a backing the fella off and a backing him off till he run him through. And the fella fell dead. And Hamlet went over to take a drink of that poison wine, and his mama, she knowed it was poison, she took it and drunk it herself, and she fell dead. And then Hamlet, with his last breath, went up to his stepdaddy and run him through, and the stepdaddy fell dead. And then Hamlet, he had done about all he could do, and he fell dead. And it's a pretty good show. And the moral of it is, though, I reckon, if you was to ever kill a fella and then marry his wife, I'd be extra careful not to tell my stepson.
This was another Comedy Spotlight on the Tom Sumner Program.
Fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade setting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot for whistling like a fool. What a fine day to take a stroll and wander by the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day. Call the road when we get to the fishing hole. There'll be you, me, and old dog Trey to doodle time away. If we don't hook a perch or bass, we'll cool our toes in dewy grass, or else pull up a weed to chaw and maybe set and jaw. Hanging around, taking our ease, watching that hound a scratching at his fleet. Come on, take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.
The great Andy Griffith to wrap things up for today's edition of the Tom Sumner Program. But not before I thank all my guests, the RTG Band, for performing live during this third half of our three-hour tour. And also David Reed Christine from No Limits Radio for our open phone line session that we call Crossover. There's Smoke and George tickling the ivories. I want to make sure first that I say thanks to my co-host and associate producer, Andrea Sutton. And I'm out of here for the weekend, but we'll meet you back here Monday for another edition of the Tom Sumner Program. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Good night.
Program is a live variety show. We want to acknowledge all of our guests who play such an important role in the show, and our cavalcade of cohorts from coast to coast for their regular contributions. Most of the musical accompaniment was provided by people in or from the Flint area. Many of the pre-recorded portions of the Tom Sumner program are made possible by Flint's own Steve McComb and Pencil Sketch Recording in Nashville, Tennessee. If you have comments, questions, or suggestions about the show, find us on Facebook. This is Prue Clearwater. Join us next time for another edition of the Tom Sumner program. And thanks for listening.